Welcome to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Welcome to Breaking the Silence, and welcome to live from Houston, Texas, the most beautiful city in the world. Here we are looking over the Texas Medical Center. It's a cool day here. I want to tell you what, there's some frost on the pumpkins here in Houston, and we don't even know how to react down here. We're wearing our winter coats when it gets down into the 30s, and we're kind of shut the city down when it gets really cold. But it's warming back up. But thank you for being with us tonight. Sorry about the intro being ran, but it kind of gives us a prelude to let you know what's happening next week. We taped next week, next Sunday night's show. I taped it this past Monday with the CEO of On Our Sleeves with the Big Lots organization, as a child mental health awareness group, and the doctor of the clinical services with that up in Columbus, Ohio. And it's a wonderful interview. We talked for about an hour, hour and 15 minutes, and we're going to be running that interview in its entirety next week. And that's one of those money back guarantee shows you don't want to miss. And that'll be next Sunday night. And if you want to know what Big Lots is doing, you know, the Big Lots, the Kmarts, the Walmarts, but Big Lots literally gave them, I believe, a $50 million grant to build this child mental health hospital, clinic, center right there in Ohio. And now they give out free resources. And our guests tonight would love to know about these resources because all the teachers, any parents, anybody can get right on our sleeves and download all of their resources free. Curriculum, the Harlem Globetrotters are one of their sponsors. There's just all kinds of sponsors, but write that down, everybody, and look that up. But next week, we're going to have the CEO, the founder, and the clinical medical director of that program will be with us next week. That was pre-recorded this past Monday. If you want to get involved tonight, because I really think tonight is one of those nights that we're going to step back and relax and talk about a situation that's happening in our country with a generation and a group of people in our world, and especially in our country, that are being overlooked because I believe they are probably being hammered by the pandemic, by the anxiety, by the stress of what's happening on the streets, by the turmoil that's happening in the homes, with the news that you're seeing on TV every day. This past couple of years has been such an impact on the mental health of our young people, our youth. And we have some awesome guests tonight that we're going to be bringing on just in a second. 888-627-6008. And why would we care about this? Let me show you why. I am another grandpa this week. And this just happened a few days ago. Victor Blake had this beautiful, him and his better half experienced this life being brought into the world. And up there in Southern Illinois, where our guest happened to be, but that is Vida Gray Williams. And that is his second and my fifth grandbaby. So I'm just dancing and and getting all excited and probably going to be packing bags and going to Illinois to see my new grandchild here probably within the next month when things kind of calm down a little bit, and we're going to be up there and enjoy Vita Gray. So I wanted to share that with you. And the reason we're going to talk with Matt and Lori Brown tonight is because they, you know, when you talk about people that are experts, it's not necessarily the people that have done the hours, the degrees in child development and the psychologists and psychiatrists and all of those counselors. Sometimes it's the people that's in the foxholes in the trenches that are raising children, that are teaching children, that are working with youth groups and church, that see every day what young people are going through. With that thought in mind, Matt Brown and his lovely bride, Lori Brown from Carterville, Illinois, are the guests tonight. And they are absolutely, probably in this world, I don't have many friends, but they are right there in the top one or two of my very best friends in this world. And I want to welcome Matt and Lori Brown to the program tonight. Can you hear me, Matt? I know we had it kind of mixed up at the beginning. Can y'all hear me?
Oh, yeah. Can you hear us?
You guys look good. What happened?
I don't know. She makes me look good.
Lori is a cosmetologist there in Southern Illinois, but I think more of her expertise, besides doing hair and hearing all the stories that the parents tell them about what their kids are going through every day, she's also a very successful track coach. And so, Lori, you're really there all the time dealing, and do you teach girls track?
Girls, yes.
You coach girls track?
High school girls.
So we're talking, there's a middle word there that's called drama, right?
Right. Most definitely that.
And Matt is the senior pastor at First Christian Church in Carterville, an unbelievable, good, biblically sound church that I just love. And Matt did the privilege of writing the foreword in my new book that's coming out in a few weeks. This week, the editors will get the final edit on it, and then we're shipping it off to the print. And I've told you in commercials for the last 2 years it was coming out, but it's coming out. Yeah. Hopefully, later part of February. It couldn't come out at a better time.
Absolutely.
So when we talk about this subject, because you have no idea what we're going to talk about except basically youth and what they're dealing with. First of all, what do you think is going through the minds of our children today? And what kind of stress factors are they experiencing that sometimes we don't even recognize?
Right. I would say what's not going through their minds, you know. you're raising will be 17 in a month, next month. In having conversations with him, and actually our youth group just left the church. They meet here on Sundays. So we had a church full of teenagers a while ago. And, you know, it seems to me the main thing going through their minds is, when will we get back to normal? They missed just that interaction. You know, God made us to be that way. And they've missed just being able to hang out and with no boundaries, you know, no walls put up. I couldn't imagine. We never had to go through that, ever. So,
Lori, what do you think when you hear and see and witness and probably counsel a lot of these teenage girls? What kind of things are going through their mind in their lives that you're noticing that may be different than a few years ago? Because you've been doing this for years.
Right. I feel like now they have a lot more stress. Their stress level is a lot higher because of the uncertainty of what tomorrow is going to bring, like whether. Are we going to get to compete this year? Kids that are juniors have not had a normal high school year all through high school. It got cut short their freshman year, then they were remote their sophomore year. And then, you know, this year it's still masks and no, you know, sometimes you don't know if there's going to be spectators at your sporting events. So I think there's just a lot higher stress level for the kids today.
Yeah, I do too. And I've been doing some research, of course, with the book and everything. And I don't think there's a better time right now for a book like this. And that's kind of why I focus on this and not the adult side of it right now, because kids need a guidebook that doesn't talk down to them. It just talks their language. Yeah. And, you know, I'm just going to throw out some statistics and just you comment on when you want to jump in. In the next 24 hours, so at 8 o'clock tomorrow night, between now and 8 o'clock tomorrow night, 1,439 teenagers will attempt suicide. Thought about that.
That's sobering, isn't it? To think that, you know, we have one of those right now. And, you know, it's a, as a parent, you think, you want to hope everything's good with your kid. It seems to be, but you don't know. And here to hear those statistics, those parents, they're just like us, you know, just like you were when you were raising your kids. And that makes me think, man, I need to be more involved communicating wise to my child, to my teenager. You know, I need to get more involved. When I guess you too much involvement's almost enough when you hear that kind of statistic. That is, yeah, that's very sobering and very heartbreaking to hear that.
Laura, you got a thought?
Well, I think we also need to let the youth today know that they have a safe place to go talk to, whether it be your youth leader, a pastor, a coach, a teacher. And if they tell you something that you have to be, you know, earn their trust that you're not going to go blab it to everyone. You know, you've got to build that relationship where kids know they can trust who they want to come to and share things with.
Lori, have you found out with your experience with coaches and teaching and coaching those young girls? Because I remember when I was in the youth director days, I learned throughout the years that when a teenager was starting to share an issue with you, you could not have any facial expressions, any gasp. And if the next few words you gave out had to be very important. So, for instance, if a youth told me, hey, I just ran over two old ladies on the highway heading to this meeting tonight, I would now probably say, well, why only two? Why, you know, were they right in your way or did you have to aim for them? Instead of going, oh, my God, are you crazy? Because that automatically, how hard is it for the kids to find someone in this day and age that they completely trust? And how important is that issue for the kids?
Well, I think it's very important that they have someone they can trust. I think teens today start with little things just to see if they can get that reaction out of you and see and test the waters to see if you're really someone they can trust with telling you things. But I think it's very important that they can find someone and hopefully they have, if the more involved they are with church and sports and getting to know their teachers. And that's the problem with having remote. They were at home all the time. Nobody was there. Mom and dad had to go to work, you know, and your kids left at home. And I think that's where a lot of the stress and anxiety came from, being by themselves trying to deal with things.
Well, you know, all the research that I did for the book, almost every study, when a teenager was going through anxiety, when I'm talking about a book for the teens, I'm talking about teens and 20s, when they're going through the anxiety, the first step that every study tells that they need to do is get moving, move, get exercise, get out and do it. And when you're in this pandemic, they could go from one room to the next, and that was about it. They weren't allowed to go anywhere. They weren't allowed to communicate with anybody besides online, and that's not real communication. And that added to the layers of anxiety, and I think we won't even realize what's happening or what's happened and the impact it's had for years on these teenagers. Matt, what do you think about what you had available when you were a teen and how you try to provide that for teens today?
Yeah, I, you know, I thought about that. I looked back, of course, the history with us, with you being, you know, probably the most influential youth director, youth pastor that I had. I try to think back to moments when I opened up to you or around others that opened up. And I think early on, you set a good example of saying, look, you know, I'm your friend, but I'm also kind of a parent figure. You know, I'm also your youth pastor. I think today the kids, they, especially when the conversations I've had with the teenagers, they see me wearing one hat. you know, they see the hat. Well, the you're a pastor, so you have to say certain things. So, you know, Matt, you have to respond certain ways. And I try to let them know that there's no hats on. I'll put whatever hat I need on. Just open up and talk to me. You know, there's no judgment calls here. There's no I thought about that. But, you know, I don't want them to think that I'm just a one trick pony and I have to respond a certain way. You know, if I tell these kids, I've told them before, I've told our son, you know, he'll tell me about a problem. And I'll say, man, that just sucks. That sucks to be you. When he hears that, he realizes I'm not just candy coating, giving him a, you know, well, here's what the Bible says. Here's how you can overcome this. I want him to know that's just life. Sometimes life is awful. But, you know, I'm just excited that he's and happy he's at least talking and they're getting that out and just being real to him. I think that's what they need more than anything. I was thinking a while ago when you said that about they're at home, you know, remote learning. And I would ask my son, hey, how'd your day go? You know, Aiden, how'd your day go? And of course, his school was his bedroom. That's his classroom. So he would literally lay in bed, laptop, do his schoolwork there. He would get up to go to the bathroom or get up to go grab lunch in the kitchen and come right back. And then when school's over, he's in his room playing video games or he's on the phone with his friends. I watched his room become his classroom, you know, his gym, his, you know, his hangout area by himself. That bothered me because I thought that's not a good place to be to try and sort out your mind by yourself. So that concerned me.
Yeah, I think kids, youth are dealing with, and they're so good at masquerading, just like us adults are, that everything's okay when they're hurting inside. I mean, I think, what was it, just this past week, the 2019 Miss USA in her early 20s jumped off a 29-story building. And she had everything going for her, at least what we thought. And nobody knew that she was screaming out for help. And so this first line of statistics, just in the suicide, the attempted suicide of 1,400 in 24 hours is staggering.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Tell you what, we're going to take our first break. If anybody wants to get involved, it looks like my son Curtis that is actually doing the program tonight on Facebook from the country of Guam. Wherever God's name is, Guam's at, but he's on a military secret mission. I probably just blew it. The U.S. Army's going to come in here.
They're going to come in.
But he is in Guam for the next 30 to 40 days, and he is running, looks like, yes, he is, our Facebook page tonight, Breaking the Silence, Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. Feel free to hop on there if you have any comments or questions. But 888-627-6008. And we will be right back with more with Lori and Matt Brown from Illinois. Hang with us. We'll be right back. Finally coming very soon will be the release of my second book in the three-part trilogy, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. Now, this book will be an in-depth look at the many different facets and emotions that a person goes through when they're experiencing anxiety and trauma in their life, and they're simply searching for hope. And an exciting addition to this book will be a companion journal guide that will come along with it. Also, there's going to be something that I'm very excited about, the youth version of this book called When Dark Clouds Come, The Roadmap to Hope. And it's going to be an excellent tool and guide for teenagers dealing with stress in their lives. So stay tuned for the release date coming very, very soon for these exciting new resources. Now back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams on the BBS Radio Network. Welcome back to Breaking the Silence. I was just looking at I look like I got hit by a paint truck on the way home from church today, and it splattered all over my shirt. That's hideous. But anyway, welcome back. We are talking about youth and their problems and how they're dealing with it and how they're not dealing with it. And we're just kind of going down some statistics, and we have some wonderful parents and professionals from Carterville, Illinois, Matt and Lori Brown. And we've talked a little bit about the suicide attempts, and 12 teens between 15 and 24 will die in the next 24 hours from those attempted suicides. 2,795 teenage girls will become pregnant. And, you know, we don't hear much about that anymore. Matter of fact, if I was a bed man, I probably would have thought that that kind of has gone down because it's not as, I guess, surprising anymore. But I remember when I was in high school, boy, when somebody came up pregnant in senior class, it was like, whoa, it just didn't happen. Now it's kind of old hat. You guys have any thoughts about teenage pregnancy and how that adds to their dilemma and stress?
I don't feel like there's been, in all the years of my coaching, I've only known of maybe one that has been pregnant. One of the girls that was actually on my team that ended up pregnant and happened to step mm-hmm. off the team, but, and that's 15 years worth. I mean, I don't see that as much now, I guess, kind of like you said.
Yeah, I was surprised with those numbers because I didn't know it was still that high. But I know it is in Houston. I think marginalized communities have a higher rate than others, which is another distress for different cultures in these numbers. 3,500 teens will run away from home in the next 24 hours.
Wow.
What do you think they're running from?
You know, I think there's a definite unmet need for community with these kids today, especially with COVID. And I know COVID gets blamed for everything, but they got tossed into a world where they just, their community was gone. You know, and when there was opportunity to, for community to get together, it was so dysfunctional and so just, you know, with the masks, with not being, I saw a clip the other day on TV, and it was showing a group of grade school kids being walked to their classrooms, and they had to walk like this with their hands, because they couldn't touch, hold hands, they couldn't touch. With their mask on, walking with their, either their hands in their pockets, and I couldn't help but think, that's just not right. That's just not normal. That, you know, kids, they desire that community. They desire that, and I think that a lot of this, there's a lot they're going through with that. And I think the runaways, and I know there's a lot of reasons why they run away, but a lot of them have bad homes anyway, and then they have this thrown on them. I think they just, that's just that attempt to get somewhere where they can find some community, some family, some normalcy, and escape this. But
in their daily life, what would you think, Lori, would be one thing that the youth right now have going for them? What's one thing is like, yeah, they really have that, and it is a foundation that they can always fall back on. What do you think that is right now for the youth of our world?
Oh, gosh, that's a tough one. I mean, I guess during COVID and isolation, they at least had social media to be able to, I mean, I don't have Snapchat, but they could at least snap pictures and talk to each other. And that's kind of a double-edged sword, because it could have been a good thing during that. And it's also a bad tool at times. So, I mean, I don't really know the answer to what they actually have. Now that we're back to a little bit of normalcy, I think being able to be in person in school and being together with their friends, and that communication has really helped with some of the stress.
Yeah.
Well, let me spin it this way. We, you know, being forced then with COVID to be with your family most of the time, I think it was a great opportunity that parents could have seized on and jumped on, saying, you know, especially in Christian homes, knowing that we want to be the main influencers in our children's lives, that gave us the great opportunity for that. So I think that was a plus, that the kids learned that they actually did have their family, you know, and that they got to see things from a different perspective of what mom and dad may go through on a normal day. But I think it was that was a plus they had that. And I've heard teens say that
They got to slow down.
Yeah, slow down. And they got to develop relationships with their parents or their siblings that they otherwise didn't have because, you know, for how many hours a day they're at school, and they've got great influences there, but man, it was a good opportunity to really focus on family and the way God intended the family structure to be. So,
yeah. Yeah, I think this next coming week, I have three conferences that I'm doing, and I'm doing, I believe, all three this week on the thing I call the perfect storm. And it seems like right now that with the pandemic, with the race issues that is happening on the streets, and you guys see that in St. Louis all the time because I see same thing that goes on in Houston. The police issues, the political issues, the distrust of everybody, the media. You can't turn on any type of media anymore and see anything positive. All of this stuff has kind of all conglomerated at the same time and at the same place to where it's an absolute perfect place for a storm to hit people and literally lay them out. And it adds a layer of stress and anxiety that we aren't designed to live with. Our bodies aren't designed to have that kind of anxiety like we're going through right now. Where do the kids have, and what do you all try to provide with people in your community that they can have to a place where they live here at this level all the time of just being bombarded with stress? What do you try to do as leaders in your community to bring that down a couple notches of going, hey, come on, this is what we want to offer for you to take a chance to rest, to pause, to breathe. What do you have to offer?
Yeah, at least here in you know, in our world, we, you know, we try to live by the, you know, the truth that, hey, it's okay to be a teenager. You know, it's okay to, you know, to step back and have fun. You know, we've done some remodeling here at the church, and our goal is in the next, hopefully by spring, we're going to start looking at building a community center, light and salt center is what we're calling it. Give them a place where they can just come, you know, leave the world outside, come in, you know, kind of meet them where they're at, whether it's gaming, whether it's, and I don't mean that kind of gaming. I know now that's a big deal. Playing the gambling that we're talking about Xbox, but yeah, because I can just hear now. Did you say gaming? But Xboxes, you know, whatever it may be, we just, you know, I think anyway that, well, they're beyond that. You know, the stuff we did when we were kids, the stuff we loved. I mean, we would have fun. We, you know, we would put those little Nerf hoops up, and we played Nerf basketball till 3 a.m. Had some good times, didn't we?
Unbelievable.
I think that I find myself thinking, well, they won't enjoy that. And I'm just going to tell you, the other morning, there's this morning, we went out into our garage, and Aiden had some friends over the weekend, and they had rigged up on their own a basketball hoop. I should have taken a picture of it. They went through about 3,000 of my zip ties. They apparently played ball all night. And I was glad to see that. I mean, little things like that, simple things to tell the kids, look, we live in a complex world of, you know, everything is high tech. You know, if we can get them away from that for just a minute and let them see that there's something very therapeutic about just having simple fun and laughing a whole lot.
Just like tonight, there was probably 8 teenage boys in our youth room playing ping pong. After youth was over, they stayed for another hour just playing ping pong. So we like to try to give them a place where they can, and any given night, Aiden will call and say, hey, you know, can me and some of my buddies go down to the church and play ping pong? And we try, just like this weekend, our church fed the basketball team. And it was just to show them support that, you know, our church loves you. We support you. We're here for you. If you want to talk, we fed them breakfast. They were supposed to have a game, but the weather canceled that out on them. But you know, we just wanted to tell them that we're here. It, you know, a lot of teachers come to our church, a lot of coaches. Find somebody, you know, that you can talk to. So we just open that up to everybody. We're trying to hit every sports team throughout the year and let them know that as a community, we support them and we're there for them.
That's great. What would you say from your perspective, from where you are in the middle of the country, compared to where I am in a big millions and millions of people here in Houston, what do you think the number one stress factor or the most, the issue that the teenagers are most concerned about right now that causes anxiety in their life? What do you think that number one thing is? I have the study, but I want to see what you think from.
I know for our son, it's his grades.
Yeah.
He is so stressed out about trying to get an A, trying to make the top, you know, top grades, but I don't know what overall.
I'm with her on that. The grades are a big thing right now. Because I think some of that may be because they've lost so much of going into the school and having those breaks between classes. Now it's just get on that laptop, get it done. It's all academic. And so now that's become the new, you know, it's replaced kind of the, I want to be the star quarterback or I'm going to be the top runner or whatever. Now it's, you know, I've got to get the grade. I've got to, you know, be top of the class. And that's a lot of mental stress there. To keep up and compete with that. Not to mention they're trying to do it and, you know, they've got to get so much in, you know, to meet their, you know, the agendas and the quotas they've got to have. And it's a lot. It's a lot on them.
And they fell behind going remote. And I feel like, I know our son has said that his workload seems a lot heavier.
Yeah.
So there's more stress with that.
Yeah, I have the top 10. I feel like David Letterman, top 10 mm-hmm. list of the top 10 concerns of teenagers as of the end of 2021. And the number one is acceptance.
I was going to say fitting in.
Yeah, and that is in so many different areas of life. And I remember that. I don't know, Lori, if you had that issue as a teenager. I did. Matt, I don't know if you had that issue. You were kind of, you and James both were very well thought of and in town and with the kids and everybody loved you. But I mean, what kind of, I wouldn't have ever bet that acceptance was the number one concern.
I think it now is a total different acceptance than what we think of, because it's all about how many likes you get on your video or how much streak on your TikTok or all that. I think that's the acceptance that they're looking for these days more as than what we went through when we were younger.
Yeah.
It's all geared on that.
How much do you think this thing causes anxiety?
100%. And
I have an hour and a half workshop session on how to get this out of their hands and the damning effect of what this does, because I think 83% of our teenagers wake up periodically throughout the night and check or text or refresh their phone every single night. That's scary.
Yes.
And it probably is higher with adults.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable. This does not teach us how to communicate. It keeps us from it.
That's exactly right. It's well said.
I think you're right, Lori. I think they are checking their how many likes they have or their last post. And then can you imagine being 2 o'clock in the morning and you've just drifted off to sleep and you roll over, you check that last post and somebody slammed you or said, boy, that picture was, boy, you've gained weight, haven't you? Or some crazy, stupid thought of somebody that really shouldn't matter. It totally messes up their whole night. There's no sleep that night for them, and they deal with that every night of the week.
Mm. Yeah, you
go ahead, Matt.
No, I'm just going to echo what you're saying. That when you see their shows now coming out, you know, where they're trying to like detox, they're trying to, you know, break their kids from this. And one clip I saw, and the girl looked to be 15. And she had a complete meltdown because they were going to take her phone from her for 2 hours. And then she had a complete meltdown and crying, threw herself on the floor, screaming how she hated her parents just because they were going to take this for a couple hours. Now, I know that's probably the exception and not the norm, but man, it's a problem. It's and we deal with that with Aiden. We You know, I saw something the other day. A restaurant is now doing, if you come in and if you put your phones in a basket on your table and shut the lid, you get 10% off your ticket, off your bill. I applaud that restaurant owner. Whoever came up with that, what a great incentive to get your families or your friends just to talk.
Yeah, if you go in, you go into any restaurant right now and just look, and everybody's doing this. It's like, well, I hope you're enjoying your family.
We've done it. I'm like, look at us.
Oh, sure we do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not going to let myself off the hook. I, you know, my Facebook, you know, I promote a lot of the stuff from the church. So I look and I get that little rush of how many likes, you know, who commented. And I catch myself going, man, you know, I'm not, none of us are exempt from that. That's just strokes the ego. And, you know, and you kind of get, you know, validity from it. And that's sad. That's the example we're setting, and we got to be better.
Yeah. How do you get teenage girls to run around the track without running into each other's back from, or doing this while they're jogging?
Well, I'll tell you, I was probably a very unliked coach because I started a rule that when they got off the bus to wherever we were headed to the track meet or whatever, I had a bag and everybody dropped their phone in a bag, and then they got them back when we got on the bus to head home. And I said that in my parent meeting. I had a couple parents thank me. But I said, you know, girls, you're here to support your team. You're not here to sit in the bleachers and be texting and doing whatever. So I would take their phones from them, and then they got them back when they got on. So they had to pay attention then because they didn't have any other tool.
I didn't do it in the book, although I should have. I didn't write about, I really believe, and I won't say this very loud where the teenagers can't hear me, that I really believe everybody from the parents to the kids, when they go to bed, ought to put their phones on mute and stick them in the kitchen away from all the other rooms. Yeah. Now Matt's going to say, wait, I'm a preacher. I need to be on call 24 hours. Well, I'm at the hospital too, and I need that too. So I can't even go by my own rules.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that I think we would be so much less stressed if we would just cut the cord every now and then. And because if you ever want to get a kid excited, just take their phone away and watch how lovely you become.
Well, she started a rule in our house that after
seven to nine.
From 7 to 9, no phones. 7 PM to 9 PM, no phones. And I was one of the, I'll be honest, I was one of the ones that fought that early on, but once we got in a habit of that, it was nice. It was very nice. Just, you know, first we thought, well, what are we gonna do for 2 hours? And then it was like, wow, that went quick. Let's make it till 10. But it was a good rule she put in our household. So I'm grateful for that.
Well, I think how can we expect our minds to start shutting down? Of course, I don't sleep anyway. But for normal people that sleep, they're on the phones watching all these videos and laughing and all that. And they turn it off, roll it over, and try to go to sleep. When your brain's going 10,000 miles an hour, it's going to take you 15, 20 minutes just to detox from all the swiping and the liking and the videos. It's just unbelievable. Yeah. We're going to take a last break. 888, I'm looking here on the Facebook page. If you want to comment on Facebook, feel free to jump on there. And Curtis says, hey, 888-627-6008. If you want to call in and be part of the discussion, we're going to take our last commercial break. And we'll be right back with the last segment with Matt and Lori Brown from Illinois. Be right back.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Welcome back to the last segment of Breaking the Silence. I have my dear friends Matt and Lori Brown from Carterville, Illinois, on the program tonight. And we're talking about teenagers and that early 20 age and the stress that they go through. I ran across this one from the people that we have on the program next week in some of their curriculum that they offer free to all the schools and adults and parents that get on their site. It's one of their slides say 50% of all lifetime mental illness, 50% start by the age of 14. Mm. Half of all the mental illness that everybody has, half of it starts by the age of 14. Are we recognizing this stuff?
Not soon enough.
I mean, are we seeing it? Mm. Are we just ignoring it?
That's a good question. I think that, you know, especially a parent, I think there's this part where you don't want to, you know, admit your child may have some issues. You know, the negative, you know, all the negative that comes with that. But, you know, I've had conversations here at the church with parents, grandparents, caregivers who have teenagers going through some serious stuff mentally. And it's the same story that they can look back hindsight and they can see the signs, but for whatever reason, they didn't address it until now. Not faulting them at all, but it's just, you know, as a parent, you don't realize that, you know, you got to become a skilled psychiatrist to, you know, to be a parent. But I think that, you know, just the awareness, and now in this day and age where you can research, Google, I think that we're in a good place where parents, you know, can at least research, hey, my child is showing this, and at least get some insight and address it with the kids and open, honest discussion and say, look, we do with Aiden. And there's some resistance there. His pride will well up and I'll say, hey, how are you feeling? Are you depressed? No. You know, he gets and we know he's had some depression and some anxiety. And having been someone that have struggled with anxiety for, you know, most of my adult life, you know, I know the signs. And so, so I see a lot of me and him and others when they deny that, and they need to know that only makes it worse. It's okay to sit down in somebody's office, sit down in a coach's room and say, hey, I'm freaking out.
Yeah.
And to be able to hear these words, hey, that's normal. Those are two healing words that we don't use enough. That's normal. And no matter what it is, you know, a teenager say, you know, I'm having sex with my boyfriend. That's normal. I'm not saying it's right, but because they hear so much that things that, you know, they don't want to be the weirdo. And I think if we could just address that and say, look, you know, what you're going through is normal and it's tough, but there's hope. And mm-hmm. I think that's huge, especially with Aiden. That helps tremendously for him to be able to talk to us. Yeah. Because there's no judgment calls on our part. So,
Lori, what do you think?
I've already forgotten the question.
It wasn't a question. He was just commenting. I didn't know if he said anything that perked up.
No, she goes to sleep when I'm talking.
I noticed she was dozing off.
This morning in the service, I'm preaching. I look down and she's.
No.
She was meditating on every word you were saying, I'm sure.
That's right.
In that same statistic, the 50% of all lifetime mental illness starts by the age of 14. The next statistic is 75% of all lifetime mental illness has hit the teenager or the young person by the age of 24. Mm-hmm. So 75% of all mental illness that everybody's going through happens during the ages of what this book is going to be focusing on. Wow. And I think it's mandated that every parent, and they probably hear me say this all the time, and I don't even know if you guys listen very often week to week, but I say this a lot. It's mandated that every day you look at your child, you look at somebody that you care about, and you look in their eyes, put the phone down and say, are you okay?
Yeah.
And look at their eyes. They can lie through here, because what is it? Judge Judy says, how can you tell a teenager when they lie? Well, when they say something, because most of the time they're lying all the time, but they can't lie through their eyes, because their eyes are attached to their heart and their spirit. And when you say, hey, are you okay? And you really look and make them look at you. And the second chapter of my book is I'm Fine, is titled I'm Fine and Neither Are You. Because when they say I'm fine, that should be a red flag. Oh, no, you're not. Let's talk. And can you tell, Lori, with dealing with teenage girls, when they're dealing with an issue in their life, is there red flags that's just so evident that if you're connected with them, that you can say, hey, wait, Sally, I'm just using that name because nobody names their baby Sally anymore. Sally is having issues. And is it that recognizable? Am I off base on that?
Well, one thing I want to start out by saying is, one thing that stuck with me that you had said before is to always, like you were saying, when you were a child, you were the perfect student, look like you always had it together. And that's always stuck with me, to don't just look at the ones who you can visibly see they may not have it all together, or you know they come from a broken family, but always ask the ones who have it together, have the family home, you know, the mom and dad at home, still check on them, ask them if they're okay, because you don't always know who's going through what. But on the question you asked, I think these days, girls especially, not so much boys, but girls they're an open book. They'll just blab it out, or they would come to practice crying. And I'm like, what's going on? And it's, you know, maybe, well, so-and-so said this about me, or so-and-so doesn't like me. And they're a little more just blurt it and lay it all out there. Now, boys, I think, are a little more tougher to crack.
Yeah. I raised three and they're silent anyway. You know, when they turned 12, 13 years old, dad became the dumbest person on the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. Until they were about 23, 24. Then all of a sudden I became a genius, and I don't understand. They probably think I'm back down to the dumbest person now that they're in their 30s, but 30s. Wow. What happened to us, Matt?
I don't know either.
But yeah, boys, I think, have a tendency to hold it in. And that's a good point. And I think we do need to scan the crowd and make sure we don't overlook anybody, because sometimes that perfectionism, that OCD, that anal mentality that I had, I didn't want to be recognized or noticed. So I was compliant. Whatever the teacher wanted, you got it. Whenever there was a deadline, I was there earlier. There was a homework project, it was turned in early because I didn't want anybody to notice what was happening to me, because I was too ashamed of it. Mm. Yeah. The second thing on their top 10 list, because we only have a few minutes left, is stress. And right underneath that, and you can see how these build on each other. The first thing that they're concerned about the most is acceptance. The second thing they're concerned about is stress. And then the third thing they're concerned about is depression and anxiety. All those domino into each other. What kind of anxiety do you think are teenagers, and how do you think they're dealing with it from their point of view? Not how we want them to deal with it, but what do you think they're doing to deal with that anxiety that they're experiencing?
You know, I know that, I mean,
Pastor Brown, are they reading their Bible?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'll bounce that off to our youth pastors if they're watching. that's a great point, because I've said to parents here before and others that, you know, my office door is always open. I don't have all the answers, but, you know, and, you know, just for those who are listening, recognize that in your ministers. Youth ministers, your anyone at the church, your elders, your deacons, whoever, that if their door is open, tap into that resource. And I'll tell you why. I may not have all the answers, and I don't ever knock secular medication. I don't, you know, I've have friends of mine, parents that know that their children are seeing professionals, and I'm glad they're getting help. But more often than not, they'll do that and they never once knock on the door of their pastor, they never knock on the door of their elder and get some spiritual advice. And that may be, you know, pride, who knows what it is, but I'll just say this. Those secular psychiatrists, and especially the ones that don't have a relationship with Christ, they're good at getting you to get that out. And that's what they're there for. And that's good to get it out. But then what are they going to put in there when it's out? And I tell parents and I tell teenagers, get with someone that's going to tell you what needs to go in to fill that emptiness, because there's only one thing that can go in there that's going to fix you. You know, and I'm not knocking on it. I can just hear it now. I'm going to get the calls. Oh, you're knocking, you know, secular counseling and psychiatry. I'm not. I just believe biblical counseling dominates in that area. It fills that teenager with the only hope we have of overcoming these things, and you know, and giving them real solid answers to what they're struggling with, anxiety, depression, stress levels, sexual impurity, whatever it may be. We have the answer, period. And those that are grasping that are realizing, man, that's true. That's you know, so I would just encourage them to do that.
I think I don't know what chapter it is. I think it's, man, it don't matter. I have a quote from Oprah Winfrey in there that says something about there's nothing more important right now for people to find something that will fill the hole that's in their soul. And that void has to be filled. And we have to recognize there's an emptiness there. Yeah. Now, of course, we know what that answer is, but it has to be presented in such a way that they see it as the end result of something that's going to be ultimately advantageous, because if we force it down, right, it's not going to work. Yeah. But if we show them and indicate that, hey, this word has an answer to every problem, right, it's just the way that we address it with them is important. And I think stress, anxiety, depression is huge. And that's why we're doing the book. That's why it's coming out, because I really want them to have something they can put their hands on and read. Or you got any thought about that anxiety, that depression, the stress that the people that you see, the kids that you see are dealing with?
Well, I know from the mother point of view, I've seen our son say, hey, you know, one of my buddies is going through a tough time right now. We're going to go ride around and talk. So that, you know, gives me hope that it's not all on the phone. It's not all in the, you know, social media, that they actually do have buddies that are, you know, classmates that they're close enough that they're going to go talk about their problems with. So just hopefully that they'll get in touch with a teacher, coach, you know, youth pastor, somebody, when all these things pile up and become too much for them to handle, that they'll feel close enough with someone that they can talk to.
Yeah. I think if there's any of the teenagers or 20s that's listening, well, anybody that's going through depression, anxiety, stress, trauma, emotional, psychological pain, and if you don't have anybody to reach out to and talk to, my number one thing that helped me through all of those times that I didn't have anybody, I wrote it down. I wrote down every thought I had. I wish I had those books and those journals and those notebooks, those spiral notebooks. I'm sure my dad took them and burned them, but I had a whole case of them from when I could even write. I would sit hour after hour and write my feelings down. And I think it's important that we don't carry it around with us. We have to release it some way. It's just building up and building up. And how many times have we seen shootings and road rage? And I say this every other week, too, that, you know, when you cut somebody accidentally off on Interstate 288 out here, you're going to get people come up and almost run you over because, you know, and honk at you and road rage and stop and try to run you off the road and all that stuff. It's not because you accidentally ran, you know, cut in front of them. It's because of something that happened in their life that is unresolved. Mm-hmm. That was just a tipping point. And I think a lot of our youth can be at that tipping point level. And if we don't recognize it, it's going to go off before we ever know it's happened.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Any last thoughts before we go? Because we're at the last 30 seconds here.
I would just say that, you know, what you just hit on, you know, recognizing it, that's so important. And then once you recognize it, then what? And that's why I would encourage, you know, anyone that's listening that may be a minister, a counselor, have been through, you know, like you've been through, reach out, get involved. You have nothing to lose. I mean, I tell people all the time, had a guy in my office the other day, and I told him, I said, look, you know, he had a situation. He said, should I get involved? And I said, absolutely, get involved. Who cares if you embarrass yourself, or who cares if, but get involved, because you never know. You know, right. You recognize this, get involved. That's all it right. takes. That, you know, I go back to that Miss America. I mean, how heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying people didn't try to get involved, but I always think if it gets to that extreme, that point of no return, not enough people got involved.
Yeah.
So that's
Lori, last thought. We're on the last 10 seconds. Any last just thoughts?
As a parent or a coach, a teacher, a leader in the community, just ask the kids if they're okay. Every yeah. kid, not right. just the ones you can visibly see or down and out.
Yeah.
Just check on them all.
There you go. Well, Mom and Dad, with Aiden and Matt and Lori, dear friends of mine, I appreciate you being on the program tonight and love you dearly. Yeah, and we'll be up in Illinois and we'll have dinner when I get up there to see my
Absolutely.
Granddaughter. And we'll get to spend some time together, maybe with James too, and get him involved. And,
and Mom's watching this. And she said she owes you some pork chops.
Hey, tell Phyllis I'm ready to eat them. We love you and thank you so much. Like how we do every other show, every Sunday night, that no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what you've endured, no matter what you're doing and dealing with right now, and no matter what's going to face you tomorrow, when those dark clouds come, I want to promise you, on the other side of there, there's always, always hope. Hang Amen. On to that hope, no matter what you're at. And never give up on hope. Thank you for joining us tonight. Have an awesome week and God bless. And we'll see you next week live from Houston, Texas for another edition of Breaking the Silence.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.